Welcome back to WNST's House in Baltimore and WNST.net. It's Baltimore Positive. Of course, we are in Catonsville because it's 4th of July week. Don Moeller's already got the ice in the cooler and the watermelon.
The beer's cold. We're ready to go.
It's a very important question before we get back to Dr. Nancy. Do you have parking for me on the 4th of July? Is there going to be someplace for me to park?
But we do. You're going to walk up here to State Fair and to Jennings, but you certainly, yes, it's a nice little walk for you. You come on over. We'll make sure you go. But you've got to be there before 1 o'clock because the parade lines up.
I might be lazy on the 4th of July?
No, I think you're going to settle in up here and you're going to capture a little bit of Americana.
All right, listen, we got a last piece here.
I'm all wound up.
We haven't gotten to Stedman yet, but I wanted to say something to you off the last segment about all the second graders in Kingsville coming downtown. And this is where the Baltimore Positive thing is going to come in. Let's go back now and see how many second graders, their parents have brought them downtown to the aquarium.
That's a great question, Nestor.
And that answer is not enough.
And it's why
it's
we have to.
It's not enough. It's not enough.
It's why we have to turn
and
it around.
And people not coming to the city. I live downtown. We've talked about that. But I want to talk about John Stedman and your relationship with him and my relationship with him, because it is how I glue you to me. I'm like, oh, Nancy, she was one of John's best friends, and Lou, and like all of that. And I haven't seen you since Lou departed. John was so special to me. He's the reason I'm sitting here. Everybody knows that. I'm doing this classic programming this month of all my 28 years. I'm taking a month down to work on some Baltimore Positive things. And I found interviews with John and I from the 90s, and I'm airing them, as well as some other incredible George Young and incredible people, Ardell Bracey, a lot of departed souls, Art Donovan, Art Madel. But John is so special to me, and it's my Hall of Fame, so he's in my Hall of Fame. He sits in my Hall of Fame.
He's in my Hall of Fame.
Tell me the first time you met John. Tell me about the John you know.
Well,
because I knew him as a celebrity. I knew him as a kid wanting to be him. You knew him.
I knew him because my husband, Lou, and John were best friends. They spoke every single day.
Wow.
Every single day.
I took a lot of calls from your husband at the paper. Literally.
Yeah. And when John would go follow the Colts in another city, wherever it was, he always called Lou before the game.
And then he called Mary Lou to cover the Orioles while he was away.
Right.
You know that story,
I
right?
do.
Stedman would always tell that story about the 66 World Series and the Colts. That he was in L.A. with the Colts, and his wife covered the World Series game and got quotes from him. You know who else has been accused of that? Me.
Yeah, there
Every
you
time
go.
John Harbaugh's walked into a press conference and said, "Hi, Jen."
going to Nestor's question, do you have a favorite John Stedman story?
I don't know. I mean, he
Too
was.
Many.
It was so many, and he was such an. And you know this
story
because
teller.
You know he was such a storyteller. He was such a great writer.
Oh yeah.
He made sports come alive. I wasn't the greatest sports fan, but when I met John and he told stories, they were about the people that comprised
the
whole athletic thing. And he made stories come alive because of the people. And I began to be this great sports fan.
John, did you ever see John give a rubber chicken dinner speech?
Did you ever see
him at a lectern? Oh, my God. He commanded the room. It was like seeing, Perry Mason. I mean, it was literally, it was grand. He would have been a hell of a lawyer.
He was very smart. Very smart. That guy, you couldn't hear a pin drop when he spoke.
Senor.
He called you senor.
He called me senor.
I do have one John Stedman as a senior at Mount St. Joe.
Okay.
A few blocks down here in Irvington, I was the editor of the sports page.
So you're privately
page.
Educated.
Privately educated. But all my children.
I'm Western High School.
All of my children all the way through public schools to set the record straight. But
you running for office?
No. But John Stedman did a very nice thing at that time. He took the sports editors from all of the local papers individually out to lunch with a local sports figure so that they could get to meet them and John could talk to the student about journalism. And since I was the editor, I got to go to lunch with John Stedman with Johnny Unitas. I mean, and you'd have from a kid from Catonsville, I thought I died and went to heaven. And that was John giving back trying to make a difference for the next generation of journalists.
He was wonderful.
He took me under his wing. I was a 15-year-old kid.
And he didn't have any children of his own, so he probably felt he adopted
you. He loved me. He always loved me. I wanted him to love me. I was a kid growing up reading his work. I mean, and for him, my father couldn't believe that I knew John Steadman,
right.
Let alone that
John Steadman was such an icon.
He was an icon, and Lou did the eulogy. You were at his funeral.
That was a mess. Yeah, I was a mess.
And so was Lou.
Ernie, of course, he saved me, dragged me out of there that night. He and Marty Bassin kind of cooled me down because I was a mess up in.
What did Lou capture? A couple years ago, Peggy Noonan wrote a great book, which was a sort of a compilation of pieces that she wrote when people passed away. And it sounds like a weird book, but it's absolutely wonderful. What did Lou capture about John in that eulogy, Nancy?
Basically, what a great person he was as a human being. And then, of course, he was the epitome of a sports writer, a sports... You know, his knowledge was just exceptional. And his personal relationship with icons. And I think I don't know this for sure, but I think he was the person who introduced Lou to Johnny Unitas.
Okay.
And Johnny Unitas became a close friend of ours. So I would tell one quick Johnny Unitas story.
You can never tell too many Johnny Unitas stories.
And Sandy were coming to our house because we used to take his daughter Paige skiing with our granddaughter. So they were coming to our house. So John said to me, Nancy, I need a cup of coffee. I said, well, you know what? We don't drink coffee. And I don't know how to make coffee. He said, do you have coffee? I said, yes, John, we have coffee. Get out in the kitchen, girl, and I'm teaching you how to make coffee. That's my John. John, we love John. Oh my gosh, another
special guy, right?
So I'm with two educators here, and I waited a long time to talk to you. Dr. Nancy Grasby, of course, Don Moeller here. We're doing Baltimore Positive. I met Don on the first day of high school in 1982, and all I wanted to ever be was a journalist. And when I got my 10th grade marching orders, I did not have journalism on my elective courses on the
Correct.
Little blue sheet. And my parents marched me down, and then guidance counselor Don Moeller met me at the front door, and I said, look, I need to be in Don Liefert's class. I've done all the research on this. Alton Albert told me about Don Liefert, and I need to be in Don Liefert's class.
Despite the fact that his name was Liefert.
Liefert, exactly. It was just on a sheet of paper. And, you know, he never taught me civics or social studies. So part of this Baltimore Positive thing, when we concocted this 6 months ago, was I need a good civics course. I want to go back and learn, because I think that's how this guy became president, was people not understanding their rights, the Constitution, what we stand for, what my grandparents fought for over in Europe, how my immigrant father somehow had a congressman through his cousin and a politician because he was a famous Oriole player that got a kid here, and he married my mother so he could become an American citizen. So that 50 years later, a guy like me could do this. And the journalism part of this, and the attack on journalism, and the attack on education, and civics. And we talked about civics last time. So I want the social studies teacher and Don to get after you in the last segment on this.
I want, and I know we're coming up against the clock, but I want to come back to what Dr. Grasmick's doing now, what you're doing now, Nancy. I want to go back where we started. It seems that we've come full circle. I want to talk about this women's leadership effort at Towson, and I certainly want to give you a little time to talk about Kennedy Krieger. But women's leadership, when people hear that, they may say, well, what do you mean women's leadership? Isn't leadership leadership? Tell us what's different when you're trying to educate the next generation of CEOs for women. What's unique to women's leadership?
There are a lot of characteristics of women which are different. So I'd like to define one. Women lack confidence as they are interested in pursuing higher levels of whatever their profession is. So they see a job description, and they look at it, and they say, I don't have two of the things that you have to have. I'm not applying
for
this.
They see a ceiling a man might not see.
Well, a man sees it, and he may be missing five things. That this job is for me. There is such a difference in the confidence level of women to aspire to higher level things. Like, if I don't have it all, I'm not ready. I can't do this. And we have to build confidence. But I also am very opposed, and this is part of the curriculum, you have to have the skill sets. And you have to develop the skill sets, because I don't want a woman in a high-level position who's not prepared.
What are the skill sets?
There are lots of skill sets. So it's the skill sets in your individual profession. It's the sense of confidence. It's the ability to know yourself. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? How do you build a team? How do you know you are not the singular person who is going to lead? No singular person who's smart and successful is individually the leader with no one else.
And what's the name? Is this a special name to this program?
Well, it's Women's Leadership.
Women's Leadership.
But I am subsequently, and I'm not prepared to announce it, going to do something very bold following
what
this.
What a surprise.
What a surprise.
Something bold. You know, it's, you mentioned that confidence, and Nestor, you may not know this. Nancy probably remembers this. I think it's true today. One of the interesting things, everybody's familiar with It's Academic and It's Academic teams.
I watch it every week.
Well, one of the things that's interesting, and you had to really work as a high school principal to get the young girls to be part of those teams, because here's what we discovered. Young boys, this won't surprise you, Nestor, think of yourself, they have no trouble clicking whether they know the answer or not. Guy reads the question, boys click right away. I'll figure it out. I'll come up with the answer. The young ladies on the team, as Nancy said, lacking confidence, are going through in their mind, am I sure I've got it right? I think
And
by that time, they've missed the question. You had to work with them on having the confidence that, of course, you know it. And it's funny, you're seeing it exhibited years later when they're ready to be CEOs.
Correct.
It's fascinating.
It is fascinating.
Fascinating.
And when you think about sports, and you're a sports guy, women's leadership in the women's soccer.
Oh, in the sports space, it's an incredible thing.
People were so upset about those women high-fiving and being so excited about the, 16-0 score.
Sure.
But the point is, women aren't used to that level of success.
Right. Amazing stuff. Nancy, real quick, Kennedy Krieger. Tell people what Kennedy Krieger is. You're the president, if I remember.
President of the board, president the first the woman board. Ever to
so,
be the
first
president.
First
of the
woman
board.
Superintendent, longest serving superintendent. First, there's a theme here.
There's a theme.
Nancy Grasmick.
You're the pioneer. You've taken the arrows.
So you're the first president of the board of Kennedy Krieger. Nestor likes to call it the elevator speech. Educate us about Kennedy Krieger.
Kennedy Krieger is one of a kind in this whole nation and maybe this whole world. And it deals with children with diseases of the brain, which cause many different disabilities in children. So it has a research department, it has an inpatient hospital, it has a therapy, a huge therapy dimension, it has a school for children with severe disabilities from pre-K all the way through high school. It sees probably 25,000 children from all over the world a year. So when they're in the Children's Center, for instance, at Hopkins, and they have brain surgery, where do they come? For all of the outpatient therapy, they sometimes for epilepsy have to be hospitalized for long term. This new disease process that presents itself like polio with children today, where they have a sniffles and looks like a little cold. The next morning they wake up, they can't breathe, and they can't walk. They cannot use their limbs. We are getting them from every state in the nation and overseas because they have to be on ventilators. It's just like polio. It's a different side of the spinal column that the cells are. So we do the research on all of this, but we also provide those children. We have Maryland children there now who are on ventilators, 3 years old. They have 7 hours of therapy a day to move their limbs.
Think of this story.
And how many special people are involved there?
Right.
I mean, somebody we know, Mike Rossigliano's wife, Terry, forever, always involved with Kennedy Krieger. I don't feel like, hearing you speak, I don't feel like I've done enough. I feel like I need to peel that onion back and do a little more. Yep. I know Polly and BJ Suroff have, you know, over the years have
with
done
the autism. Things.
Absolutely. And that's what I know of Kennedy Krieger. I know of the autism. Everything else you just said is
huge. I mean,
educational to
me. But think about the connection. To, this is what, again, the three of us get so frustrated about Baltimore.
There are great
and
things
negative.
Going on here.
This is Baltimore City. Kennedy Creek. They're coming from all over the world. I mean, there is no reason.
Three blocks away from where my wife had her life saved, right?
No reason why this is not the world-class city that we all know it can be and will be again. Quick question. Again, I apologize. We're keeping you. I know you've got another appointment. The big articles all the time now, Nancy, about how we're failing kids on the vocational technical side of education. How we've dropped the ball. Recent study in audit on the
shop.
Well, that's what I'm going to ask Dr. Grasmick to tell us where we should be.
So one of my jobs at Towson University, our high school model is over 100 years old. It's a obsolete model. I decided that I was going to change that model somewhere in the state of Maryland. And I went to Frederick County. Why Frederick? Because in Frederick proper, over 50% of the children, students in Frederick High School are Hispanic. And many of them first.
What was that stat again?
Now it's up to 55%.
Wow.
And the rest are...
That's an agricultural community, period.
Exactly. Right. And the rest of them are about 25% African-American and 25% white. People don't think of Frederick that way.
No, they don't.
But what happened? These are kids who've just come to this country. And with the rigidity of how you have to take the test to demonstrate you've learned the material, they couldn't even speak English. So they failed. And what did they do? They dropped out of school. Frederick County has a very low dropout rate. At this school, it was 11% because they said we can't do it. So I changed the legislation for this school. I went to the General Assembly. It passed 187-1.
Wow.
That never happens. But when they graduate, they have to have met the standards, but they have those 4 years. I put advisors in that school, and this was all done in conjunction with the administration in Frederick High School, in Frederick. I put advisors for those kids. The school is open from like 7 in the morning till 7 at night. And
a workaround.
And
literally,
we now have a relationship because they have a very vibrant business community in Frederick. We now have a relationship with over 100 businesses.
Wow.
And the like AstraZeneca, the large pharmaceutical company, these kids are not just visiting, they are engaged. So you know who's been a great support to that is Ed St. John. He's my friend. But I took him up there, and he's not easily impressed, that
right.
guy.
I would say that's safe to say, having worked with him.
Impressed the hell out of him in the previous.
But let me just tell you, he cannot believe it. I had dinner with him last week, and he just couldn't stop talking about it. We have virtually no dropouts now. These kids are doing amazing things. And instead of the tests, we have a competency-based test. So let me give you an example. A girl is
I wish you were more excited about this.
An international Irish dancer all over the world. Why does she need to take phys ed?
Right.
The girl dances like crazy every day. And so she could demonstrate her competence. It's not easy. But we have writers like that. And we have a great relationship with the Frederick Community College. So they can either get a high school diploma and they can get a AA degree at the same time.
Did we make a mistake? Did we make a mistake, Nancy, in trying to this mindset that everybody has to go to college?
No, yes, we've made a huge mistake.
Okay.
And there are kids who don't want to go to college or don't want to go now.
Right.
So my great story.
Well, we've made that the American dream.
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous. So let me tell you my great story, and then I'll end.
Okay.
So
you're
I'm going to
be
Hartford.
Responsible for running late. I want to.
I know. I went to Hartford Technical High School, and I saw this kid wiring a simulated house, like you might see it at Eastern.
Right.
So I said to him, "What are you going to do?" He said, "Well, I'm actually going to become an electrician." I said, "Oh, okay. What kind of courses have you taken?" So this kid tells me about the math courses, the science courses,
STEM,
all of this. And I said to him, "Did you take the SATs?" And he said, yeah, I did take the SATs. I just always want to be prepared because I'm going to own my own business. So I said to him, "Well, what did you get on those SATs?" So it was normed on 1600, okay? He got over a 1,400.
Wow.
I said, "Do you know you could be accepted into Harvard?" He said, "I want to tell you something. I don't want to go to Harvard. I want to be an electrician."
Right.
Why are we denying that kid? If I want an electrician,
choice, right?
I want that kid.
It's about choice, right?
Yes.
That's where we drop the ball. It's about choice.
And you want the best people in those professions.
Right.
And
well,
they
you always hear about
respected.
The mother who wants the kid to be the doctor or the lawyer or whatever.
Because
that
we promoted
we
that,
it.
And as Nancy said,
we
made a big mistake. Listen, I know we don't let anybody get out of here. You work 100 hours a day. We always say that. You got 19 million boards. People wonder, what do you do to relax? What do you do to have fun? What's Nancy Grasmick do when she's not working 100 hours a day?
I have great-grandchildren, so I spend a lot of time with them, and you understand
right, absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
And it's a lot of fun. I have the most amazing friends. I mean, I'm going to Europe.
Norway?
Norway.
You're going to the fjords?
Yes.
My wife has a dear friend that lives up in the fjords who is always offered to have us up there. And I said to him, "Have you ever seen the Northern Lights?" And he said to me, "The Northern Lights, this would be like me asking you if you have ever seen the moon." That's what he said to me.
Yeah.
So, yes.
And I'm like, we got to go there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'll come back and tell you.
You got the grandchildren, you got the friends, you travel.
Travel. I mean, I just have the most wonderful life, and I'm blessed. And my husband, who was adoring and
it was a love story. People don't know. You all got married every year, right?
We got married every year.
They got married every year, Nestor.
For 32 years.
They got remarried every year.
Well,
all kinds of places.
Right.
20 or 21 years in, I hope you didn't skip a year. You know, we didn't skip any years, right?
No.
Just go straight through.
Well, how can you?
Oh, my gosh. Plenty. And all kinds of funny things, like the Phillips crab people,
sure.
The seafood. We got married at their house one time. We got married on up in Gettysburg on the, on the battlefield. All kinds of places.
Four score.
It's an American love story.
Yeah, so thank you for having me. You guys are amazing.
Hope you'll come back.
I will come back.
Well, how am I going to get educated if I don't have an educator?
Well, you got an educator.
That's why I keep Moeller around.
Where are we? Where are we, Nestor, as we wrap it up?
We're in the opposite Jennings Cafe, the Turkey Avocado Club, the Shrimp Salad, the Chicken Salad. They have fried chicken livers here.
They got it all.
What they eat
all kinds of craft beers.
They love things in Catonsville. We are Baltimore Positive. We are WNST.net, AM 1570. And we will see you more right after this.